Hi there. I'm going to keep us in California. We've spent a lot of time there this morning, and I think actually the timing of these sessions was really great because a lot of the people that went earlier gave a good background on what's going on in California, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about a specific program and the findings we had actually observing physical education classes. So we've talked quite a bit about surveys, looking at some data, some qualitative information, and now I'll share with you some of the actual observations that we found in California schools. So I have relationships to disclose financially. I would like to first off acknowledge our Fund of the California Endowment that may sound familiar. They've been funding a lot of this great work in California. We really appreciate their support. The rest of the team, specifically Dr. Brian Cole from UCLA, who's been wonderful and been with us every step of the way through this. Quick overview, I'll actually just jump right into it in the interest of time. So this is an evaluation that we're conducting, or just wrapping up our evaluation of the Healthy Eating Active Communities Project, which is a fairly large-scale project taking place in 6 low-income and underrepresented communities in California. I'll jump real quickly to this map so you can see. 4 of the communities are in the southern part of the state, as you can see, where a lot of the population is focused, and then also Oakland, California, in the Bay Area. And additionally, the 6th site is in South Shasta, which is in Northern California. This is a more rural site, so you know this is definitely across a variety of sites, and there's a variety of populations represented in these sites. Just to go back real quickly, HEAC focuses on 5 sectors. This morning we'll be spending most of our time in the school sector, but HEAC is very large scale and comprehensive, and we've collected a lot of really interesting data. We're just going to share this one snapshot with you today. It was started in 2005 and was originally for 4 years and then was then extended through 2010. So it's just pretty much been wrapping up this summer of 2010, and our evaluation officially ends at the end of this year. We have done a comprehensive external evaluation. My organization's Gems and Associates. We specifically specialize in evaluating nutrition and physical activity environments. And just wanted to mention we've had lots of great collaboration with some of the other organizations that you've heard of this morning. We've had the pleasure of working with Project Lean, as well as UC Berkeley Center for Weight and Health, which was mentioned in Heather's presentation first. There's a lot going on, but we are collaborating in the state. We're not spinning our wheels separately. All right, so and just to mention, this, the HEAC grants were, they went to a group of people in every community. So there had to be a representative from the school, from a local community-based organization, as well as the Department of Public Health. So the money was shared across these sectors, which was a benefit and provided challenges, as you can imagine. So in addition to the regular HEAC funding that was over the course of 2005 to 2010, in 2008, the California Endowment provided the opportunity for additional funding in physical education because they realized what an important piece of the work this was. And as you was mentioned before, this was all taking place, during the economic downturn, and a lot of schools were experiencing budget cuts, and so this was a way to try to, keep the funding levels at a more acceptable level for this physical education work. And the sites, 4 of the 6 sites actually applied for and received the funding, but the other 2 sites did continue to receive the regular, fairly generous amount of HEAC funding. And the sites that received the incentive grant used it for additional teacher trainings. Specifically, the teacher trainings that were conducted were mostly Catch and Spark, which are very common evidence-based trainings. And anyone who wants more information, I noticed they both have booths up in the expo. So, check them out before the end of the day if you want some more information on Catch and Spark. They're both really great. Some of the sites, 1 or 2 of the sites revamped their actual school master schedule to devote more time to PE, which is excellent, and some of them also purchased additional equipment. So overall, all the sites were basically working towards meeting the state requirements, which were mentioned earlier, 200 minutes every 2 weeks for elementary schools, which is about 20 minutes a day, and then double that for middle and high schools, so, shooting for about 40 minutes of physical education per day in the secondary level. And then, it's not just the minutes of time devoted to PE, but what are they doing in PE? So, we've heard MVPA discussed quite a bit this morning. We actually looked at, during the physical education class, how much of that time is spent in MVPA, and the goal is 50% in actual moderate to vigorous physical activity, which means your heart rate is actually elevated. And then as a way of getting at this, they implemented teacher trainings. Like I mentioned, Catch and Spark were very popular, and then adopted new curricula to improve the quality of classes overall. So some of the specific sites, what did they do? Santa Ana, which is located in Southern California, they were very successful overall. They conducted extensive teacher trainings, especially in the elementary level. They had a real advocate who worked in the elementary schools, and it was strongly supported, as I said, by district leaders, and we've heard this morning that that's a really important, role. And then also they really monitored their classes to see to make sure that the training that they were doing translated into improved classes. South Los Angeles was extremely successful in passing a motion on the district level, which LAUSD, the second largest school district in the country, to actually enforce the district PE standards, which as we know may seem a little redundant, but things that are, you know, written in the books aren't always happening on the ground. So in collaboration and with the City Project, specifically Robert Garcia, they were able to pass this motion in LAUSD. And as a side note, we have a separate grant with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We're evaluating that, so stay tuned for the results of what's happening in LAUSD PE thanks to the motion. Shasta, which is that northern rural area, purchased additional equipment. They're lucky to have a lot of space for physical education because they have more open rural spaces, and then they purchase additional equipment to make sure the kids were actually physically active in those spaces. And Oakland made improvements to actual schoolyards to encourage more physical activity, both during physical education and during the recess time. So how did we evaluate, you know, whether this was working? And I just want to mention, you know, this wasn't a scientific study and intervention. This was an evaluation of a community program. So keep that in mind, because it is a slightly different model that we're talking about. So we visited schools in each district of these HEAC communities. Most of the HEAC communities focused in one school district. We visited elementary, middle, and high school in each of the districts. In a few of the districts, we visited an additional school that was brought into the fold once the PE incentive grant came through. So we visited about 20 schools on average across these six sites. And we collected data first off at 2005 at baseline, then various times at midpoint, once in 2008, twice in 2009, and then just recently we finished collecting the endpoint, which is spring 2010. And so the findings I'm going to share are mostly from the later midpoint, because we just had the endpoint data coming in, but I'll share a bit of that at the end. So how did we assess the classes? We used the System for Observing Fitness Instruction Time, also known as SOFIT, was originally developed at San Diego State University. Slightly adapted it, but it looked pretty similar to the original tool, in which you choose four students in the class to represent the physical activity levels of the whole class, and you switch between observing each of the different four students for 2-minute intervals. So every 10 seconds, you check your student that you're observing at the moment and give them a ranking of how active they are, one being laying down, and four being all out running. So three and four are considered moderate to vigorous MVPAs, which is how I'll refer to that. So you switch between these four different students, and this has been tested against accelerometers and has been found to be fairly accurate. And it's a lot less invasive than accelerometers, because the kids don't even, you know, 99% of the kids don't even notice you're there. You stand off to the side, you don't have to have student contact. So it's a great way to measure physical activity in this sort of setting without having to be too invasive. So highlights from the interim findings, just to mention, this is from about 20 different schools. We visited four classes per school. We tried to do that over two different days. So the interim findings, at each time point, we visited between 70 and 80 classes. It's kind of the general number of the classes that were highlighted here. So the actual length of physical education classes, now we got this by, you know, showing up when the class started, when the kids come out in uniform, and then when they go back in, because there's what's on the bell schedule and there's what actually happens on the ground. And as you know, that's generally different amounts of time. So the high schools had the highest minutes of classes. This is probably because, you know, they had a set bell schedule. Around 35, middle school was not quite 30, and elementary school was around 30. Important to note that although the middle school and high school had these numbers, kids generally participate in PE every day in these middle and high schools, whereas elementary schools, well, it seemed to have 30 minutes, which is over the, you know, goal of 20 minutes a day. Elementary schools don't always have PE every day. As was discussed before, oftentimes it's the elementary school teacher that has to take the kids out. And because they knew we were coming, we always came at a time that they conducted physical education in the elementary schools, but we know that there were days when the kids didn't go out. So this doesn't mean that this happened 5 days a week in all the schools. So how much of that time was spent in MVPA? The high schools had about 12 minutes, elementary around 11, middle school around 10. So, you know, these aren't huge numbers, but I think more interestingly, it's interesting to see what percentage of the time was spent in MVPA. Elementary school was almost 40, so they were getting closest to that goal of 50% MVPA. Middle and high school were hovered around 35. Again, this went up and down slightly during the interim observations, but this is generally kind of where things stood. So the middle and high school were, you know, a little further away from the 50%, but they did, the high school specifically had more time spent in classes. So then we wanted to look at, does the location affect things? So we found that indoor classes were slightly more active than outdoor classes. The majority of classes we observed were outdoor. The increase in indoor MVPA may be due to the fact that a lot of the indoor classes were circuits or, you know, fairly active trainings and things like that that, you know, made the kids keep moving. And also you're indoor in a set space, whereas outdoor it's kind of easy for kids to wander off and shuffle around and not necessarily, you know, be with the program all the time. This was actually one of the most interesting findings. It was consistent across pretty much all the time points we collected data. It was, you know, I think a lot of people know this, but smaller classes were more active. So classes that had less than 20 students reached almost 42% MVPA, whereas the larger classes were around a third of the time in MVPA. We realized that less than 20 students per class is, you know, it's a stretch for a lot of schools. Most of these classes were elementary classes. I don't know if we really observed many middle or high school classes that had less than 20 students. But, you know, if possible, it's great to lower that student-teacher ratio because we found them to be more active when they had smaller class sizes. And then we like to see, you know, what activities got the kids most physically active. Swimming was very physically active. As we know, not all schools have this, but the swimming classes we observed were almost at 50% MVPA. And then walking and running laps, while maybe not the most exciting, generally students were pretty active during the walking and running laps classes. Then the other games, you were generally around a third of their time spent in MVPA. But it's important to note that with any activity, depending on the teacher instruction, the kids can be very active or very inactive. It really depends on how you're teaching the class, you know, the way that the game is being played, the encouragement level, and the involvement of the teacher, because it can really vary depending on, you know, we've seen extremely inactive softball and extremely active softball depending on the context. So this is the little, you know, preview of the baseline to end point, as you can see. You know, unfortunately, at baseline, we saw levels that were, you know, fairly high, and then in those 3 years between baseline and midpoint, it really dropped. And we're not quite sure why this is yet. We're just really starting to look at and delve into this data. This was, you know, a major point of economic downturn. A lot of schools were losing teachers, were, you know, taking time away from physical education. So that may have contributed to, you know, to that drop from time one to time two. And then 2008 is when the physical education, the additional incentive grants were offered. So that might have benefit, you know, been part of the benefit that brought the levels back up to around 40%. Again, this is very general. We're just starting to really crunch all these numbers, so stay tuned for more findings from the baseline to endpoint across all 5 years. So some of the key findings, in line with what other people have found and discussed this morning, it really requires support and buy-in from the district level. One of the sites that had the most success, I'll discuss in a moment, Santa Ana, really had that district level buy-in, and that allowed them to reach 50% MVPA in almost all their classes. More intense PE interventions are necessary. As I mentioned, this wasn't an actual scientific study of intervention. It was an evaluation of a community program. And we've seen that you really have to focus a lot of energy, effort, funds, resources to really improve physical education, you know, on the district level. Smaller classes may lead to higher levels of MVPA. That's nothing too shocking. MVPA levels in schools, as you saw, haven't changed significantly. Despite the funds that have gone into this, we're thinking possibly down the road we might be seeing benefits of this program, but 5 years wasn't really enough to see it, you know, a strong improvement. Some of the successes, all the sites have done teacher training using those great curriculums, evidence-based curriculums that I mentioned. Santa Ana had that strong school leadership, and we found at Endpoint Santa Ana schools, I believe, on average, they were all at 50% or more, which is really impressive. That's a very active class to see 50% of the time spent in MVPA. As I mentioned, South Los Angeles passed this PE motion, which is great. That's, you know, a sustainable way to actually change the whole, you know, curriculum and core of PE, so we're evaluating that separately, hoping to find some improvements due to that motion that was passed. And then Shasta was able to purchase additional resources. That was a really success for their rural area. challenges. We need longer intervention implementation. This grant is now wrapping up. My third bullet point is difficult to sustain past funding. So the sites that did things like passing motions or things that are more permanent, hopefully, they'll still see benefits. But it's when the funding goes away, it's hard to keep these things going because the district just has very little resources to commit to physical education. And we need innovative strategies that can actually work within the context of schools. It's easy to get things to look really good on paper, but once you get into a school setting and there's so many competing priorities and so many other things going on, oftentimes the programs that seemed great on paper kind of fall apart in the school context. So we need to really have something that looks good on paper and then actually translates well in the difficult, challenging school setting. And then the limitations in evaluation methodology. We think SOPET's a decent way, to observe physical activity in MBPA, but I think everyone working in physical activity research knows that there's, we could definitely improve how we're researching levels of MBPA, and we need other ways to look at, how active kids are being. So happy to take questions. I guess maybe as a group we're going to take some questions, or yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Right, we've got a small enough group here. If you have any questions for any of our presenters, we have 6 minutes left in our time slot. Question up front.
I have a question for you, Mariah. You mentioned that South LA has a motion to enforce the review requirements. And I'm curious if you have a sense of how likely that is to be more effective than the statewide requirements? That's a great question. We're currently, my former tally is here, we're in the middle of visiting about 85 schools in LA. I just took a break this week to come to Denver. But anecdotally, we've observed some classes and we're doing teacher interviews on the ground, and a fair amount of teachers haven't even really heard of the motion yet. It was just kind of rolled out. We're going back fall next year to see if maybe after a year the motion has trickled down, we're seeing change. But I think we do know that local policies are often more effective because they're closer to home. People are, can be more aware of them. Whether it really changes PE, it depends on who's advocating the school. If someone is aware of it, if there's a parent or a teacher or an administrator aware of the motion and really pushing for the schools to enact those requirements. But to be honest, we don't know yet. That's what we're studying. We hope to see an improvement, but we're realistic. As you know, LUSD is huge. I mean, with over 800 schools.
Other questions? Yes.
I was really just curious because there were so many presentations from California about whether any of you learned something that was going on in a different one, or what the relationships were maybe that you heard that you hadn't realized before, say.
We work a lot together. We're actually South Dakota Lane is all connected in some way, but we are the full technical assistance providers on the HEAP initiative. UCLA's information was a little.
Your actual findings were new from CHIS. We worked with a UCLA staff from Brian Cole extensively. Brian Cole. So Brian Cole has worked with TIAC, and then Heather, who presented the first, has done quite a bit of work with UC Berkeley, Center for Wayne Health, whom we collaborate with all the time.
So I've been on our school committee. So I've been there for 12 years and Project Lane for 25, and I just think we have great partnerships and we all work together very close and it has made our success.
And there's great meeting, the obesity conference that she plugged, we all go to it and we're all aware of each other. So we have a lot of great meetings and collaborations across all the groups because there's so much work being done. It's a large state, so the governor's summit was a great time that we came together. So there is a lot of collaboration.
And the other thing to add to it, because California Endowment is very involved, is now the movement is there's been some strategic meetings of physical activity isn't quite where nutrition is, we spent a lot of years on that, so that we really need to work together and get clear, consistent messaging out to throughout the state and to school boards and leaders, policymakers about it. So there's a lot of discussions on how it proceeds in the next couple of years for their conference to do that.
Other questions? I've got one for Rob, since he's the Kansas person, a little bit separate.
I'm the outlier.
The outlier. But the program that you did on the mentoring side of it, how critical was the role of the principal in keeping that program? And has that started to spread to other campuses yet?
Very critical. I mean, the school board put it on the chop block. Just looking, I mean, it's all numbers.
Yeah.
There's only this many students enrolled in, you know, psychologists now. My class size has doubled in the last 5 years just because of budget cuts and stuff. So he was an advocate from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And he went to school board and said, no, you got to give this program a chance to grow. And, and again, I think it will grow. I think that's, it has grown this year and it can continue. It's just people have to be aware of it. They weren't aware of it the first year. So it kind of became a, let's do these kind of academically, you know what I mean, put them in this class. So the first year, the mentors were not, you know, what you would consider like the top students or the active students, and they probably saw those benefits from doing it just because they needed that type of experience. And, there's actually a class they brought up about, you know, they actually have a class at that school for students who are overweight and obese, a physical education course. Students who have some social issue type things, and it's at the same time, so they actually work with some of those students as well. That, wow. That partnership worked pretty well, too.
Wow, that's like fun, it sounds like. Next year, our conference theme is Healthy Communities, and the year after that, our conference theme is Prevention and Wellness Across the Lifespan. It'd be great to hear some continuation of all of this work. So please submit again to the chief section of this class to be safe. We are working together with them to bring some more programs like this so we can see where public health is really out on the ground. And really get some focus on our schools, which is, our schools are our primary area for a lot of our public health initiatives, whether we know it or not. Great, well thank you all for coming.